Where do I put this fire? This bright red feeling. This tiger lily down my mouth. He wants to grow to 20 feet tall. I've left Bethlehem and I feel free. I've left the girl I was supposed to be. Someday I'll be born.
Welcome to Yin Radio. It's fall and it is time for county fairs. The Latah County Fair may not be the biggest fair in the country, but it's just a bike ride down the street and it's free. You see everybody you know and tons of people you don't know. Where do they all come from? And it's not unusual to know many of the exhibitors. Now, as a kid, I never knew there were so many aspects to the fair because I was a city girl at the big Florida County Fair. The unfamiliar animal barns never compelled me to enter. I did ride the rides, and I ate the wonderful junk food. I always waited with Mom while everybody else rode the scary rides. And then Daddy would take us all home. But since moving to a small rural area here in Moscow, I've learned how diverse and interesting people can be. And the fair's a good place to show off talents, especially talents that rarely get the stage, like growing vegetables or gorgeous flowers. Collecting strange things from Elvis memorabilia to doll clothes. Making cakes and quilts and clothes and taking photos, painting. Raising cows and steers and sheep and goats and pigs and chickens and bunnies. From KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, this is Yin Radio, and today we'll spend an hour at the Latah County Fair because it was fun for the whole herd.
Everybody's gonna be there down at the county fair. Big time, big talk, big crowd, big hair. There's nothing bigger all around the country anywhere than the county fair.
Installment number one starts 2 days before the fair. Or at least that's when I first got into the act and started my recorder. The theme for the fair this year was fun for the whole herd. So when Jenica started designing a cake to enter in the fair, that was her inspiration. Jenica Wood Beauchamp makes fancy cakes for friends and family, and on commission, when she's not earning a living as an environmental educator. The first cake I ever saw of hers was a birthday cake called Fun and Games. It was three layers, kinda. All the layers were tilted and off-kilter, and they led into slides and chutes. Checkerboards adorned the bright orange frosting. It was hard to destroy that work of art, but it sure did taste good. The fair cake, though, wasn't a real cake. Jenica was entering the cake decorating category, which allows use of forms, or what she called cake dummies, instead of just real cake. So Jenica used an unedible underlayer as the canvas for her decorating art. First, she created a landscape of rolling hills in shades of wheat, green to golden to brown, and each layer provided a base for gardens to grow and for critters to romp all the way around the cake.
I don't know if anyone is even going to be able to see the back, but you know, the judges will. And so you got to add stuff back here and... That's why I decided to put little... Can you tell those are carrots?
Oh, yeah. No question, they're carrots. And those are cabbages?
Or lettuce. Or we have something leafy like that. And, you know, little pumpkins.
Yeah. That detail is marvelous.
So now, behind you here, this is the other stuff. Sunflower heads. So I'm making the... sunflower mixture for the stem and the leaves. Uh-huh. I'm going to put sunflowers on either side right here.
Actually standing up?
Kind of, yep.
Just kind of
on the side. And then this is a Ferris wheel with chairs. So it has to rest it on there. And so the chairs will go around. And I'm not extremely happy about the chairs, but...
Why? Did you say simple?
I think I should have made it more kind of like a cup.
Basket.
Basket type chairs instead of flat. But
I think that whatever. The idea really nicely.
Yeah. And then, you know...
Yeah.
Little sheep and chicken and the pig. And so those will be kind of marching along here, like they're going to the fair.
Yep.
And then the logo will be down there. The fun for the whole herd. Yep.
Sitting atop the cake next to the barn was a girl. Her legs swung over the side of the cake. Her brown locks danced in the air. And she sat smiling, holding a sunflower, wearing a green flowered skirt.
The skirt is based off of a skirt that I have.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted her to kind of look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's only the third person that I've ever made, so I'm not perfect with the... Yeah, you could do a lot to the facial features, and it's really in the face that makes the person, but I decided to... make her hair like what mine might look like on a good hair day.
Jenica sculpted these critters, the girl, the sheep, the chicken, and the pig, out of an icing-like layer called fondant.
This is fondant.
Fondant.
And it's made out of marshmallow. It's a very interesting process, actually, because you melt marshmallow and you grease up your hands with shortening. And you I just take up my entire counter there, and I pour the marshmallow on the grease countertop, and I pour a whole bunch of powdered sugar on top of it, mm-hmm. and you knead it together. Mm-hmm. And at first, it's like oil and water. They don't want to mix. And then eventually, they do mix, and then you end up with this pretty flexible, clay-like... substance. Do you want to? Let's find. Some of this has been in this bag for a while, so it's a little hard. Yep, here we go.
I can play with it inside.
Kind of like.
Wrapping.
Okay.
My hands aren't. I haven't cleaned my hands.
Well, whatever. I'm probably not going to be using these pieces. Yeah, it's true. No one is going to be eating this.
It's kind of like Play-Doh, but more plasticky feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even when it's more mushy, it feels pretty much like what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I wanted to use, I would probably heat it up in the microwave a little bit just to soften it up, and then you can really
mush it. And then you food color it to the colors you want.
Yes. Yeah. Well, these special coloring here.
So you have to make the fondant, get the color right, and adjust the consistency. Then, sculpting the fondant like clay into figures is another skill altogether. Sometimes it takes a few tries.
This is actually my second head.
Mm. Oh, first.
I have a...
She's been beheaded?
I made the body separately. So, you know, you first make the body.
Uh-huh.
And then I made the head. And I followed directions on... and of how to do this. And so I made this head and I decorated her, and look, she has little eyelashes and everything. And then I went to put the head on the body, mm-hmm. and I said, that proportion is not right. The head is way too small. So I tried to picture the hair because she's bald.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to put the head on the body. Right. And kind of let it settle and dry a little bit, and then add the hair, because hair is a lot of weight, and you don't want to accidentally twist the head.
Yeah.
So I thought about it overnight. I was like, nope, that's still too small. I got to make a new head.
Sculpting is a relatively new technique that Jenica has only recently included into her repertoire. In this cake, Jenica used other techniques as well. The sunflowers are made of royal frosting, which gets hard when it dries. She uses tips of various sizes and shapes to make petals and leaves and stems. To be sure she gets the details right. I mean, how do sunflower leaves arrange themselves anyway? Jenica goes to pictures on the web. It's a great source of information and inspiration.
I couldn't remember if the leaves are alternate or opposite. Just little details like that. I also get a lot of inspiration from just looking at what other people do with their cakes. There's this, if this is too hard. There's this wonderful site out there where people can post their pictures and then put keywords. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking this, you know, I looked up, you know, barn or farm or fair, and just to see what other people have done to give me ideas of how to represent stuff in cake form or fondant form. That's where I got the idea to do kind of a rolling hills and in the background.
And from the website?
From what someone else did. But then it is, because they just had, you know, a couple of different colors of hills, and the day after that I thought to do this, I was on a field trip, and we were driving south to Lewiston, and I was looking around and really noticed the lines where the trucks have been, not covering the whole field, but just in a couple places of the field. And I thought, oh, I need to do that. And so that's there, and wanted to put, you know, the different colors. Some of the fields were yellow and some of them were brown. And
after inspiration comes, then comes a plan. And a plan is just a starting place, not a rule book.
I draw out kind of the plan in my head, and then everything changes after that. Let's see what the plan in my head was. There's a barn. Okay. Oh, originally I was thinking about putting the sun there too, but I ran out of time and I don't think it was needed. I didn't know how big that was going to be, so it's really big in my picture.
I like it smaller. That looks out of balance.
That's what, yeah.
What I'm here.
Well, that's small too, isn't it?
True.
Greens, light blue, light green. This is, I thought, well, you know, I want some kind of the garden there, but you know, it's just in the back instead of the front, because I want to have the, you know, write the theme here.
Right.
So it's pretty obvious.
That's so cool.
It's about the fair. And, then everything changes. I didn't know if she was going to be sitting or, you know, down here, or if an animal would be up there. I just started making it and thought, oh, it makes sense for her to be up here. I think I'll just stick her up there. Now she's kind of stuck to the cake.
Yeah, so she's staying there.
She's staying there.
It's the technique that's so exacting. Jenica spent almost half an hour getting sunflower leaves to form properly.
Come on, chunka.
First, the icing was too thick to flow out of the tip.
There you go.
Then the tip clogged with old dried icing. Then...
okay. Yay.
She's a guy.
It's a leaf.
Yes.
And it's now soft enough that I pull away and then it forms the point.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Hooray. Oh. Then you try to do a simple thing and it just ends up taking forever.
And this is your last night to work?
It's not. Well, yeah, I'm turning it in tomorrow, so I can still do some finishing touches tomorrow after work before I turn it in. Mm-hmm. But this is the last major night. I always think of more things I can do.
How do you decide when enough's enough?
Good question. I guess I make priorities. I first start with the things that I already have half done, like my sunflower tops. Mm-hmm. I have the sunflower tops, so I obviously need to do the bottoms. Mm-hmm. I obviously need to stick on the Ferris wheel with the chairs and then write the logo in front and stick on the animals.
And do you freehand those the things. Logo?
Yeah. I have nice handwriting.
Good hand.
Oh, I can. I'm pretty good at judging space too, and just doing it.
Good.
Might have to use my toothpick to make sure it's kind of even. That's the trickiest part.
It bodes well for Jenica that she pays such attention to detail. The criteria includes 50 points for workmanship, for appearance 30 points, and for originality 20 points.
I'm not so worried about the originality. But yeah, but thinking about the workmanship application of icing, border, that's the kind of stuff that I need to add on at this point.
Jenica didn't know what she was up against in this competition, however. She'd never entered or even saw the Latah County Fair before.
Have you entered before?
No, because I've only been in Moscow since last August, and last September it never even occurred to me. I was really busy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, starting out at the new job. So I wish that I would have just swung by and looked at it, but I wasn't thinking that far in advance, so I have absolutely no idea.
I think that'd be kind of hard.
No, whatever. Yeah. You do your best, and do what I want with this, and I'm happy with it, and then you turn it in and see what happens.
But she does have experience at other county fairs. In Moscow, it's a whole different game, though.
When I was growing up and entering decorated cakes in our county fair back in New York, there were many different divisions. And so I always entered the kid division, but I remember in the adults there was the wedding cake or the birthday cake or other celebration cake, and so these different divisions within cake decorating. And here they don't have that, probably because they don't have enough entries.
So it's one category?
It's just one category. So that's going to be very interesting if you're the, if there is a really nice kind of a wedding style cake in all in maybe fondant with more buttercream and royal icing accents, and you use more of the tips because I'm not using so much of tip stuff. I'm going to add some. The leaves with the sunflowers and the grass, and I'm going to add some more things with tip, but it's very different. And so I wonder how they would kind of judge on that.
So that's where I left Jenica. The next day, she dropped off the cake. The day after that, the judges did their evaluations and picked their favorites. And I met up with Jenica to see how it all turned out. This is Yin Radio, and we've been with Jenica Wood Beauchamp preparing a cake for the fair. She's never even seen the Latah County Fair before, so she has no idea of the kind of competition she's facing. She's made a detailed fair scene, complete with gardens and animals and a barn and a Ferris wheel. It's all on a pallet of fondant icing that looks like the rolling hills of the Palouse. She's delivered the cake. Judges have made their evaluations. And I met up with Jenica just outside the exhibit hall. She had already peeked inside.
I saw my cake with a blue ribbon and a purple ribbon.
Yay!
You know what that means?
That means best of show?
Best of class or whatever, not best of.
Let me just see.
So I get a $25 gift certificate from Rosars. Which won't pay for all the money that I spent on it, but that's okay. That's not the point with these kinds of things.
We went in so I could see the final product. Approaching her cake, I commented on some of the competition's strengths. Like a true champion, Jenica was reveling in victory.
It's better.
I know.
Sorry.
Oh, it's really good. And you added, you didn't have the chicken, did you?
I had it, but I decided last minute to stick them on top because I placed those three.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, where am I going to put the chicken? And then I thought, well, it looked kind of cute sitting on the Ferris wheel because it's fun for the whole herd.
Yeah.
You know,
so
look,
the herd gets
it
to
looks
go.
Like it's having fun. Mine's the biggest. It's the craziest.
Isn't that wild?
That had to take a long time.
It did take a long time.
She made it.
I made it.
You did?
I came, yep.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my god.
I came in wearing the same skirt.
See, that's the skirt that,
yep. So I could take a picture of me.
There was only one task left for Jenica. She had to respond to her admiring public.
That's pretty cool.
How long did that take you?
A few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Off and on.
So you really wouldn't want to eat it.
Well, this is my cake, and so that's why.
Congratulations.
That is really very nice.
She made this cake, and it won Best of Show.
Congratulations.
And we're very proud.
Yeah, wow. How much time did that take?
A lot.
Yeah.
A few weeks.
And you did a wonderful job.
Jenica says it feels good to win. She's won in the kids' class before, but now she's following in her dad's footsteps.
I repeatedly got first place ribbons as a kid for that. My dad would normally get first place ribbons too.
In cake making?
Yeah.
Your dad is the cake inspiration for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is very character driven, which I think my cakes are too. Like, I remember one of his, it had a lot of penguins on it. And there were penguins in it, so, you know, kind of 3D, or penguins sliding down into the pond and swimming around there and playing in the snow and skating on the ice, and they all have different unique personalities. And I think that's something that I really enjoy doing. I like having a scene cake more than just a pretty cake.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's a good
personal
scene.
Preference.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's over though. It's exhausting and my kitchen is a mess.
And what are you going to do next?
Clean my kitchen.
You can see Jenica's winning cake at yinradio.org. You'll find a picture or two and a link to Jenica's website where you can see many of the cakes she's made over the many years. And when you peruse the site, remember this.
I'm such a cake nerd.
What'd you say? If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? Who's there?
It ain't Jack the Bear, and I'm coming in to see you.
Well, look who's here.
If you knew I was coming, you'd have baked a cake.
Baked a cake, no mistake.
If you knew I was coming, you'd have baked a cake. How'd you do?
How'd you do?
How'd you do?
Next up on this Yin Radio show, I ask people to answer the simple question, what is the best thing at the fair?
What's the best thing at the fair?
People watching and kettle corn and, of course, you know, all the different foods. John Stewart.
What your favorite part of the fair is?
What's your favorite part, Sophia?
Probably the bunny rabbits.
And that's where you are now. Do you have a bunny here? Have you looked through yet?
We just got in here.
Yeah. What's your favorite part?
I like the rides.
Of course.
And Mom?
I like the rabbits. Yeah. The rabbits are my favorite part.
Good. So well, enjoy. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
For community radio, can you tell me what your favorite part of the fair is?
The kids' laughter.
Thank you. For community radio, can you tell me what your favorite part of the fair is?
Food.
Ah, that's a popular answer. That's why we're all here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, my question is simple. Why did you come to the fair? What's your favorite thing here?
Food.
Everything.
And what would her favorite part of the fair be?
I don't know.
She's still trying to figure it out.
What do you think about the fair? A lot going on, huh? Can you tell me what your favorite part of the fair is?
Just being around all the people.
Kind of the social aspect, seeing everyone.
Helium balloons.
I agree. That's
helium
the best.
Balloons? Now, where are all your balloons?
In the balloon place. Yeah.
Keepers taking care of them. Good. Well, have fun. See your friends. Enjoy. Thanks for letting me interrupt. Yeah. My question today is, what's your favorite part of the fair?
My favorite part of the fair. Oh, I don't know. I just the music and the entertainment.
And running into friends.
Running into friends, that's right.
Is battery low?
No, it's happy now. Oh. The question is simple. What's your favorite part of the fair?
My favorite part of the fair is having the children to come and throw beanbags at the Ringo sign and win fabulous prizes.
For community radio, what's the best thing about the fair?
Come on, and hit.
I want my ears.
This is a little recorder I said for community radio. Tell me, what's the best thing about the fair?
The elephant ear booth. Always.
And of course, those last answers came from, where else, the elephant ear booth. Installment number 3 focuses on the animals of the fair. I spoke with youngsters who were showing their animals. These kids impress me. I never met a cow myself face to face until I was in my 30s. And here are these kids working with them, caring for them, and then mostly selling them. Most are really good with people, too, not just animals. We're going to start with the rabbits.
I know he's a crossbred, and he's flyback.
And he's what?
Flyback. That's pretty much all that I know about him right now.
Oh, okay. He's very pretty.
Yeah, we don't know how old he is because we got him from the animal shelter.
Oh. And you got him from the shelter? How long have you had him now?
We got him right around Easter.
Yeah. Very nice. Good time to get a bunny. Thank you. Sheep before, maybe 2 years ago. So,
What does it take to get a lamb in here in the fair? You have to take care of it a lot?
Yeah, we keep them for like 2 months, and then we have to take them down here.
Yeah. And what do you have to do every day taking care of them?
You have to feed them and walk them and make sure their water is clean and clean out their pen every day and night.
Do you like your lamb? What's her name?
Yeah. Her name is Blackie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she is really nice. She likes people.
Yeah, well, I see you cuddling with her.
Yeah.
Do you do that a lot? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, good. She's very pretty.
Thank you.
Do you have a lamb, too?
No.
No? Do you visit her, this one, a lot? Do you visit Blackie? Do you visit Blackie a lot? Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
I'm Whitney Fiderson.
Is this your?
Yes, this black pig is mine.
Yeah? Tell me about him. I don't know nothing.
His name is Porkchop. He's 277 pounds, and he's 6 months old, and he's 97 pounds when we got him, and people say that you feed him slop every day, but you can actually buy Millennium Hog Finisher, and there's just little pellets of, like, grain and stuff, and they like fruit rinds and eggs and stuff like that. Just yummy stuff, rotten fruit, anything, really, that they'll eat.
Do you get real attached to your pig?
Yeah, you can. If you spend time with them, you learn their personality, and then you get really, really attached to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's actually a really good pig. My pig last year was insane.
Yeah, how'd you get into raising pigs? Family thing?
Yeah, my family thing. My dad, actually. He got me into it. I was never going to do it, but he told me that I should do it just to try.
And so how long ago did you try the first time?
4 years ago.
So you must like it.
Yeah, I do.
You got hooked on pigs.
Yeah, they're really cute. Especially when they're babies when you get them.
I bet.
Yeah.
6 months old and now this size.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That is. It is. It's very incredible.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
This is Yin Radio, featuring women's voices and women's stories. This week, our theme is Fun for the Whole Herd, and it comes from the county fair held 2 weeks ago here in Moscow, Idaho. Installment number 4 is about dancing and fashion and friends. I'll just let it roll.
Hey, bow to the partner, wait a little, bow to the corner too. Now join hands in circle F. They're awful brave to come up here, so we're going to show them a good time.
It may take 2 to tango, but it takes 8 to square dance. And when it works well, all 8 move together like a well-oiled machine, do-si-do-ing and a-la-manning and swinging and promenading in turn, making stars and circles and chains, and gliding by each other till they come back to their partners and back to home. The caller sings out instructions, and somehow, everybody just does it. It looks graceful and simple. Except sometimes everybody doesn't just do it, but that's even more fun.
Hands in circle, right around, right, right. See, we have fun with this. Circle left. Do an alman left with your corner. Your corner. Do-si-do your partner round. Back to the corner. Alman left with your corner. Swing your partner high and low and around and around and around you go.
The Palouse Promenaders, a square and round dance group in Moscow, took center stage at the fair to show their steps. In traditional square dancing attire, most of the couples were color matched, the guys in Western wear and the gals in some frilly skirts. And when they swing and turn, they flash their colors, ruffles of petticoats. The kind of clothes most people won't be caught dead in. The kind of clothes most people wouldn't be caught dead in, including Sharon Gosland.
I'm wearing what's called a fufu because it's the multi-layered petticoat and a skirt and a blouse. And most women look at this when you ask them if they'd like to dance, or they go, I'm not wearing the skirt. I'm not wearing the outfit. And I said the same thing when they came up to me. And I got talked into lessons. And I said, okay, I will dance, but I will not wear the outfit. I have half a closet of these outfits. I love them. You feel so feminine in them. However, it's very hot in the summer in them. But other than that, it is fun. And everybody will know what a square dance outfit is supposed to look like.
Show them, show her the other part.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said the layers. You're not kidding.
Not the layers. Oh. But yeah.
And the petty pants. Petty pants.
Oh, how pretty. Now, these are lacy little shorts that are match the petticoats. And you're wearing peach today on the underlayer.
Yes, on a multicolored skirt, yes.
That's so that when you dance, that you're on stage, that you're not embarrassing. Very
well,
proper.
Showing off something very pretty. Yeah. Now, you also want to add that your outfit is decorated with lots of lace, which I don't see all the time, but that's a nice lace ruffle.
Yes. Some people wear ruffles better. I don't wear ruffles very well, but I can wear the lace a little bit. And it just depends on the person. Some people wear very plain outfits. Some people wear them with more ruffles and ribbons and bangles, and it's up to the person.
Sharon's petty pants matched her outfit. Not a costume, I learned, but a dress, skirt, or outfit. But Karen Bloomfield, the president of the Palouse Promenaders, went for contrast on that day. Her black western wear was complemented with a flash of bright red petticoats and bright white petty pants.
I have black on the Johnny Cash today. My husband's an old-time fiddler, and he had to wear black, so that's why I wore black.
But it looks great, and you're flashing the underlayer, too.
White petty pants.
But now, while you were dancing, both of you, I particularly noticed the underlayer because it's a good contrast. And that red underlayer just stands up and grabs you.
Like Sharon said, if you have one outfit, you probably have many outfits, so you can choose any skirt that you want to go with it.
And how many do you have?
Oh, about 13.
Not everyone has that many fancy clothes. Take Barb, for instance.
Well, I don't have as many as these ladies. But I've made most of mine, and...
Did you make this?
Yes. Not this, but this.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, impressive. This is a multicolored skirt with mostly teal and brown, and it has a little fringe on it. Did you put on a teal fringe with some white lace?
Right.
Really nice.
And then the matching petty.
Teal. She's flashing teal. Oh, yes, she's flashing me. Although you can dance in anything, because ruffles are not required for acceptance in the club, they tell me, it does seem that ruffles, or at least Western wear, is in among this crowd. And these ladies have all had time to create a pretty extensive collection. They've all been dancing for years. Barb, the dressmaker, for 18 years. Sharon of the Peach Petty Pants is the newcomer at only 12 years. Karen, in her Johnny Cash black, has been dancing for 27 years. But the winner in the group that I spoke to was Irene. She wasn't dressed for dancing on that day. She was passing out flyers in her jeans and colorful Palouse Promenaders t-shirt. But of course, she ended up dancing anyway, proving that the clothes don't make the dancer. Irene started dancing as a kid at her dad's gas station in North Carolina. When they would close for the night, everybody would start dancing. And after some 30 years now, Irene knows the moves.
I love to dance.
Were you dancing as a kid?
Yeah, my daddy called the old-timey square dancing. And we run a service station, and whenever they would close it up, we would turn the jukebox, thank you, on and dance. It was new to everybody. This guy had been in service, and he was from Texas, and they square danced, so he started.
Not everyone starts square dancing as spontaneously as Irene did, though. Sharon and her husband were practically dragged into it.
We used a country swing, And then when our kids left home, we decided we needed to get involved in something. And they, for 10 years, one of the gentlemen that my husband worked with had been trying to get us to join square dancing, and we wouldn't do it. So finally we had some friends come up and say, come on, we'll pick you up, come to lessons. So we came, and we tried it, and my husband said, now don't get too involved, because we're just going to do this in the winter, and then we're quitting. Like I said, that was 12 years ago. The friends quit. We're still here. Yeah.
Barb's and Karen's stories have a similar ring. Coercion and nagging got them started square dancing. Well-meaning friends and family members kept after them until they caved.
Well, it was some friends that said, we think you ought to. And we weren't so sure that we wanted to. But we went, and for the first half year, it was okay. But then we missed a number of lessons, and so then we felt like we just didn't know anything and were ready to quit. And then we went to the Christmas dance and had such a good time, we continued on.
Good. So, and that was history.
And that's history.
What prompted you to start, do you remember?
Oh, I very well recall my brother and sister-in-law square danced, and they kept nagging us. Every year I said, no, we can't, we have kids. And so finally we did, and we've danced ever since. We've just enjoyed it so much. They quit, but we still dance.
In each case, the women talk about the fun and the community among the dancers.
It's a lifelong thing, and it's also, we're like a family. All of us, I think we have a close relationship, and we do not necessarily things outside, but we care for each other, and we do a lot of, it's like a close family. There's a lot of caring there.
And we've really enjoyed it. The people keep you around. Square dancers are the friendliest people you can meet. And it's wonderful.
That's correct, because you can go to Lewiston or just anywhere you can dance, because it's a universal language. Even in foreign countries, it's taught in English. And so it's all the moves are the same. And so you can just go anywhere, and it's a fun way of spending an evening.
You can go anywhere in the world and square dance. And you're always welcome. You'd be surprised.
So if these ladies or any other friends or family members you may have try to drag you into square dancing, you can fight it all you want. But they're just trying to share some love with you. And if it sticks, it can be a lifelong activity. I just want to dance
square. Well, four boys promenade inside and a break. And get back home, give that girl a sway. You join all your hands, circle after a while. Left out a man and corner with a bridge. I wanna dance with you. Swing your girl and promenade her too. That's what the other lovers do. I just wanna dance with you. Swing your knife. Bow to the partner corner two. That's it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us. We're going to get in a big lineup here. It is traditional that in square dancing, we thank the caller and the cueer and the dancers. And we're going to thank you at this point. So one, two, three. Thank you.
We have one last installment, number 5 on today's show from the fair. It comes from Jean Corris, avid and skilled weaver. Jean was making the rounds. She had entered in the Palouse Empire Fair the week before. She was in charge of the Latah County Fair's weaving section, and after she got everyone registered there, she was heading down to Orofino to judge some entries at that fair. I slipped in to talk to her, to this high-demand woman, for a few minutes while the entrants were checking in. We started by talking about the pieces that were already checked in, much of it Jean's work, some of it her friends and colleagues, especially Helen Bobbitt's. You can hear Jean's enthusiasm, and if you close your eyes during this piece, you can imagine textures, visual textures and tactile textures. Imagine running your fingers across smooth cotton and linen and chenille. It's luxurious. Listen, and you can hear texture and pattern.
This person's stuff are interwoven with mine in a way. Like this scarf, the pattern here, when she first designed it, since I weave more than she does, let's see if I can find it. This is the same pattern.
And often I do things,
so
this is mine, and this is hers. And often I do things, this is another, in towels.
Uh-huh.
I've ended up doing towels just because it's fun to do a short section and then use them as samples.
Yeah.
Okay, and all of these towels were done in the same warp.
What is warp?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that's a good question. It's the part that's stretched out on the loom,
mm-hmm. The
threads that you put on first, and the weft is the part that goes across.
Okay.
And this is a computer-driven, not driven, it's computer-assisted 24-harness loom.
Okay.
Now, do you know what harnesses are?
I'm guessing, but I don't know.
So. Those are the things that that go up and down that make the pattern. Most looms you see are 4 harness, maybe 8 harness, and these are 24.
Okay, so it's a pretty complicated.
It's a complicated loom, and a lot of both of us. This is Helen Bobbisett's work, and a lot of hers. She does a lot of designing on the mm-hmm. computer. I do some, but not as much as she does. And I do more weaving, so she will say, "Okay, try this out for me and see if the floats are too long or if the way it comes together. I mean, it looks one way on the computer, but it often doesn't weave up that way.
Is a float kind of like a distance when it's a big span there?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it will look good and sometimes it won't.
Yeah.
And it looks great on the computer, but then you do it and...
Yeah.
So, I use the towels as... I'll put on enough 40... towels, and I can make each one totally different. I mean, these are all put on at the same time. So this is some stuff I've been designing. I don't know if it's fully resolved. Can you tell what it is?
A frog.
Oh, good. And sometimes just changing the color can, you know, give you a different look.
A whole different look.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that in these two. Also,
yeah.
The contrast is so much greater.
And this
here.
Looks green. This isn't really green yarn.
Yeah, it has a greenish shade.
Okay, good.
This is wrong. Hi. Oh, and then this is another one I've been working on.
Oh, I like the dragonflies.
So I use these, my towels, and I've been experimenting putting linen. These all have... The warp is a white cotton, and these are different linens. This is a linen.
It has it gives it a more of a texture.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a shine.
Uh-huh. And it has. Feel the difference between this one and this one. This is, I don't know, maybe you can't. This is a little stiffer. The linen is a little stiffer. It has a little more body. These just came off the loom today, so I brought them in case you were here. This is unfinished. This is silk.
Ah, that's why it's so shiny and fine too.
Yes. So this is a whole different scale, but that's this pattern.
Oh, and so here we've got this pattern, two different materials.
Yes.
Similar color scheme.
And then there's this one.
Which is that one.
Which is this one. I love this. I can't wait to wash this. I think it's going to be really elegant.
When you wash it.
This.
Oh, it tightens up.
You have to wash all these things. Yeah, because the washing brings everything together, and then you press it, and it presses it down. But I think this is going to be really elegant. This is the first time I've used this gold yarn, and that's its natural color.
Oh.
And it's from silkworms that grow in Assam, India.
So this
and
is
that's
high,
the only
is
place
that
they grow.
Too, because that, just
this
to
this one
to...
doesn't, but this one does.
And so this, which one's the warp? And
the
one?
Warp is this one, the one that where you
the
get fringes. Yeah, but
and
I think this is going
to
weft.
Weft.
W-E-F-T. Weft, or woof. Some, but that's a very old term. I don't think people use that term. But. You can go from sublime to ridiculous.
Oh, I like it. And ridiculous, just for the record.
Elegant, ridiculous.
Can't see it. It's not ridiculous because it is.
They're
elegant,
flamingos.
But they're pink flamingos. yeah.
So this one's, you can feel a little more linen-y feeling on this one. It's a little stiffer linen.
Yeah.
And so I think this is going to be really interesting. This one, so does this make any sense to you?
It makes sense.
I'd love to show you the loom.
I think that's, I'd like to do some of that for follow-up. But I'm getting a sense of, for one, variety.
And yeah, well, see, that's what interests me a lot,
yeah.
Pattern and the variety. And then these are my chenille ones. This is just these two are just plain weave. And then this one, actually, these two are the same pattern, but just woven, same threading, but woven differently. And this is alpaca.
Yeah, I can't see it.
I know you can't. It's like I did these, you can't. It's just the way it's woven.
Okay.
I have another one at home of this just like that, and woven on the same warp.
I love this color scheme. This is the green and purple. It has a kind of electric look to it between that and the chenille.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just amazing what you can do. It's just limited by your imagination, and I've got a big imagination, and I'm still barely touched, you know, what...
But how long have you been doing this?
Since the early 80s.
Yeah.
And then you want to go to a different type of stuff. These are, I really like linen, and I really like to make table runners.
And do you sell them or give them away? Or you mean you must be making an awful lot of them?
I make a lot of stuff, yeah. But I do sell some. Not. It's not my major purpose. Things seem to go away. I do them for wedding presents, and these both of these are a damask weave. This is woven with, it's kind of a pinky warp.
Yeah.
It's kind of this funny pink.
Uh-huh.
And this is with a yellow, and this is with a lavender.
Mm-hmm.
But this is wonderful linen. It has just this wonderful
nice
sheen to it.
And I like the...
I really like...
What do I call it? You were saying the stiffness, I guess, is just the best word.
The what?
It's just the stiffness of it.
Yeah, the crispness of it. That's what you get from linen that I really like, is it's a firmness and a crispness. And this is special linen.
Tell me about it.
It's a mercerized linen. This is the only time I've ever seen it. And I bought what I could get a hold of, because it gives us the extra sheen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process they usually do to cotton to give a nice sheen and wearability.
Yeah.
But it, as you can see, it has a...
Yeah, I see the sheen is there. That's probably one reason it's hard to take pictures of.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that might be. I have trouble with these. Now, this one, I only have one of these, is another thing I like to do, and that's a lace weave.
Yeah.
Putting holes and things in patterns, essentially,
is. I can see why this will work especially well as a runner if you have an attractive table on it.
It's, yeah, if you want, I mean, look at it on, you know, the wood tables over here. You can see it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I like to do on my table runners is make them so that they look good on either side.
Mm-hmm.
So I hem stitch them.
Yes.
And so you can't really tell if there's a right or a wrong side. And this one, it doesn't matter so much, but these are kind of opposite on the other side. So you might want more yellow or...
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
And the reason I have them rolled on these swim tubes is that it keeps them from getting wrinkled. And one of the problems with linen is that it creases easily. And if you roll it, that doesn't happen.
Well, she has all her scarves rolled.
Yes.
Same basic reason to prevent the wrinkles.
But see, these linen is especially bad. Linen has some really good properties and some really yeah. frustrating ones.
I've had a linen suit before.
And they wrinkle easily.
They
wrinkle. You have
they
to accept
when you first put it on.
You have to accept that part of them.
That was my introduction to weaving with Jean Corris. There's a lot more to learn, though. I can't wait to see her loom and to figure out how she combines that analytical and creative aspects to be a weaver. And I can't wait to see her fabled workroom. It's reputed to be filled with multiple lifetimes worth of raw material. Hope you've enjoyed visiting the fair with me today. This is Yin Radio, and you can reach us at yinradio@vpfound.org. That's V as in voice, P as in power, found.org. Today's show has had a lot of guests. I'd like to thank Jenica Wood Beauchamp for today's show, and the Palouse Promenaders, Karen, Barb, Irene, and Sharon. And thanks to Jean Corris. Of course, everyone around town and working with the animals, thank you as well. Yin Radio is produced at KRFP in Moscow, Idaho by VP Foundation. Thanks for joining me, and I'm leaving you with Too Many Clowns, Not Enough Car. This is by Gordornak. Until next week.